And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is deeper understanding. Each of my guests is giving us a deeper understanding of their subject, whether it's money and the church or the brain, and in this case, the operations of a Navy SEAL team. My next guest is going to shed some light on one of the top news stories of 2011, the assassination of Osama bin Laden. He's a former member of the SEAL Team 6, and he'll explain the workings of that team to execute one of the greatest political maneuvers of the 21st century from his book, SEAL Team 6, Memoirs of an Elite Navy SEAL Sniper. And if you want to call in and ask questions of my guest, or if you just want to call in and have a comment, you can call us at 639-0008. Howard Wasden is a former sniper for the Navy SEAL Team 6, as I said. He received the Silver Star and was wounded in Operation Restore Hope in Somalia way back in 1992. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, you might be more familiar with the book or the movie Black Hawk Down, on which that incident is based. Howard is retired from the Navy SEALs right now, and he's practicing chiropractic up in Upper New York State. Welcome to the show, Howard. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Billy. Just a quick correction. I'm practicing chiropractic in Lower Southeast Georgia.
Lower Southeast Georgia. How could I get that so wrong? I got to fire that research person, and I apologize for that. Judging from your accent, I should have known better. So, but let's start with the basics, Howard. First of all, on behalf of all of my listeners, I want to thank you for your years of service to the military and congratulate you on winning the Silver Star. That is one of the highest military honors in this country, so thank you very much for that.
You bet, Billy.
All right, but let's start with the basics. First of all, what are the Navy SEALs?
Okay. The Navy SEALs were originally commissioned in 1962, January 1st, 1962, mostly from the UDT Frogman era soldiers. And what happened was the president at the time, John F. Kennedy, saw that conflicts of the future would be, you know, counterterrorism, insurgency, counterinsurgency, hostage rescue type missions, which, you know, proves he had a lot of insight and foresight.
Yeah.
So he commissioned the teams then. He commissioned one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, SEAL Teams 1 on the West Coast, SEAL Teams 2 on the East Coast. And like I said, drew heavily from the UDT members to start those teams. So the evolution of the teams, and there's a lot better books out there as far as the evolution of the teams go, but in a nutshell, the evolution of the teams began to progress, got more and more teams, and now we've got BUDS set up, Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL School in Coronado, California. So once you go to BUDS, there's a fallacy. Everybody thinks that once you finish that SEAL school out there at BUDS, you're a SEAL. You're not. You're actually less than halfway to becoming a SEAL, even after all that torture.
Wow.
You have to go to Army Airborne School, then you go to your team.
That's incredible. So just give us an idea, if you will, Howard, how difficult is it to get into this elite unit?
Well, the thing is, you have to screen to go to BUDS. You have to volunteer, you got to screen, you've got to take physical screening, aptitude test, psychological battery, and the big thing is that while it's hard to get to BUDS, it's even harder to stay there because, you know, my class started with about 132, 136 people, and we graduated 25 or 28 people.
Wow.
So, and you think about it, these guys who are coming out there are studs. But what we find time and time again, it's not the physical toughness. I can make most people physically tough. It's the mental toughness and the heart that you have to make it through that training.
Wow. Well, we must be talking to one badass, Howard Wasden, about his book on the Navy SEALs. So let's talk about your personal experience in the SEALs, if we can, Howard. You were part of SEAL Team 6. You participated in Operation Restore Hope in 1992. That's the incident for Black Hawk Down, the movie and the book, if people are interested in that. Tell us about the missions. Why were we in Somalia to restore hope in the first place?
Okay, two quick things. First of all, it was October 3rd, 1993,
oh.
92, and it was Operation Gothic Serpent. Operation Gothic Serpent is what me, the other team members, and the Delta Force guys were there to do, which was capture Adit, who was the clan leader who was using food as a tool, starving hundreds of thousands of people, Billy, using his guys to, you know, kill people, assassinate. So our mission there was to capture this warlord who was responsible for the death of thousands of people and for the Civil War that was going on. So our job was to take care of him, capture him, and capture Otto Osman, who was the finance. He was the purse strings. And we actually did get him. And that's the thing about Black Hawk Down. Everybody looks at that and thinks, man, that was just one goat rope from the onset. You know, and I go over this in my book. We had a lot of good odds. We were winning. You know, we were winning in Mogadishu, Somalia. But we had one bad day, and a very bad day. You know, as you pointed out, I was shot three times. We lost 18 Americans and I think 72 wounded. And what do we do after that? After we've got the back broken, these people are being financed, supported by Al-Qaeda. And what do we do next? We turn tail and run.
Now, that's interesting, because that's not the first time in American foreign policy that we've done that. I mean, if you look at Vietnam, and I'm going to draw some analogies there, the 1968 Tet Offensive in Vietnam, which was the New Year's Offensive by the North Vietnamese, we actually won the Tet Offensive. I mean, by all military standards, we had defeated the enemy at that point, and we didn't press our advantage. And from 1968 to 1972, we lingered in that war instead of pressing our advantage and moving on. And it sounds to me, in 1993, we did much of the same thing.
Yep.
Go ahead, please.
Even more importantly, here's why this came back to bite us more than Vietnam did. And listen, I agree with you about Vietnam. We should have just went ahead, took the gloves off, and won it and came home. All right? Here's what happened in Mogadishu. Having these guys trained, supported, and funded by Al-Qaeda, when we tucked tail and ran and came back home, look at all the incubation that happened. Look how strong Al-Qaeda got. And look what happened 8 years later. But nobody wants to take responsibility for that. Moreover, look what happened with the Somali pirates. That's still an ongoing issue.
Right.
So we were there. 18 of the finest soldiers who have ever lived are dead. 2 Medal of Honor winners are dead. We've made all these sacrifices. We've got them on the ropes. And to keep, I guess, political favor or political popularity, which I assume was the same in Vietnam, we came back home and left it over there, and God only knows the amount of training and how much more ready these people were able to get from our leaving.
Wow, it's interesting how you connected the dots. We're talking to Howard Wasdin, author of the book SEAL Team 6, Memoirs of an Elite Navy Sniper. And let me ask you this. I mean, you know, you've got Black Hawk Down, which is the exception to the rule. That there is. Why isn't there more known about units like the SEAL Team 6 and their other counterparts and their exploits?
The reason is because we live in a pop culture society. There are no less than a dozen books out there about SEAL Team 6, one written by the man who started it all, you know.
Wow.
The man who formed the team, Richard Marcinko, you know, did a great job forming the team.
Uh-huh.
You know. And the thing is, it's out there, but America doesn't become interested in something until there's some reason, like, you know, the Somali pirates. That was kind of a little footnote in history. But then we get the big number one terrorist, number one wanted man in the world. Now everybody's interested.
Sure.
So for a very short amount of time, for a very, very short amount of time, Billy, our American people are able to look and say, hey, those are the real heroes, you know, not the Charlie Sheens, not the Rambos of the world, you know, the people who were born with money and just live on television that everybody watches and emulates. You know, those are the real heroes. Those are the guys making a commitment, making it a lifestyle, and willing to sacrifice their life for their friends, neighbors, and country.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Howard, in that right now, we're all looking at the Navy SEAL teams as the tip of the sword. It's sort of captured the country's imagination. Tell us, what do you know about the operation and how it went down, other than what we all read in the newspapers? Do you have any insight that you can share with us?
I will tell you this. As it went down, everybody knows as much about it as I do. Here is where we have to draw the line when we're talking about any SEAL team or any military unit and their capabilities. I watched with disgust as the Assistant National Security Advisor went on television and showed the way the raid went down. And then, if that's not bad enough, he showed the way it was supposed to have went down, which is exactly, in my tactical mind that still churns on occasion, is the way I would have taken the compound down.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing that, at that point, Billy, you're giving up plays from our playbook.
Right.
And then you're putting the guys in harm's way. And at that point, you've gone too far. Admire them from afar. Be very glad we've got young men of this caliber willing to put themselves in harm's way. But when you start talking tactics, techniques, manning, then you're overstepping the boundaries.
Well, now that's an interesting point, and spoken like a true warrior, Howard, and I agree with you there to a certain extent. But it was also the famous Boston Celtics basketball coach, Red Auerbach, who said, hey, I'll give the opposition my playbook. But in reality, they could have the same plays as I do. They won't be able to execute them because they don't have the same personnel that I do. True or false when it comes to military operations and how you would characterize SEAL Team 6?
Well, I think that's false because big difference is he's playing for a championship ring. These guys are playing life or death.
Very true.
These guys could come in, have one thing go wrong that these guys were able to prepare for, and now you've got to go rope again. And now, again, this isn't on the court. This is dealing with people and, you know, affecting people's lives.
Well, very good point. You make a strong point there. Let's turn our attention back and do more to your career, if we can, please, because you were a sniper for the SEAL team. And what is it about sniping right now that is capturing children's attentions in video games? Right now, the hottest video games are the ones in which the child can be the sniper themselves. What is it about being a sniper that really resonates with young people?
You know what? You just told me something I didn't know. I didn't know that those video games were the...
oh, my goodness. It's the hottest thing going, yeah.
Video games. I'm showing my age here. I remember my son being young and playing Duck Hunt. That's probably before your time, too, with a little pistol. I guess as technology advances that you're able to get more realistic. Here's the thing I will comment on about kids playing the video games, though.
Mm.
Just limit that. I mean, just, yeah, play your video games and everything, but then, and I, as a chiropractor, I see it a lot. These kids spend too much time behind the video games, not enough time outside. So it's great to emulate a sniper. It's great, I think, to, you know, play video games. But at the same time, get out from behind the television and video games and get outside. The bigger question about what people find amazing about it,
yeah.
I think that's a mystique that goes back, you know, a long time ago, you know, all the way back to the first snipers, you know, which were the longbow. You know, they could outshoot distance-wise all the other bows and arrows.
Yes.
So then as we come forward through history, we had them in the Civil War. You know, we of course, we had them in World War II, Vietnam, Carlos Hathcock being you know, a great sniper in Vietnam. I think it's just a mystique, but I will tell you this. The thing about being a sniper that people need to realize, and I'll de-romance it a little bit here, you spend most of your time hot or cold and miserable and most of your time not making a shot. Most of my time, and most snipers' time, any of them will tell you, is spent observing and reporting back, and very rarely do you get to be the sexy guy who actually pulled the trigger and made the shot.
Now, that is...
For example, Otto Osman in Somalia. Watched that son of a gun no less than three times through my scope where I could have, like, said, okay, done. But, you know, we were there to capture, and that's what I tell everybody when they talk about this op being a kill-op. We don't have kill-ops. Regardless of what you think of the American... military or the American commander-in-chief, who at this time happens to be President Obama, we don't do those ops. We go out to capture people unless they have violence of action, and then it requires the judgmental use of deadly force.
And that's good to know. We're talking to Howard Wasdin, author of the book SEAL Team 6. Howard, what do you want readers of your book to take away from reading SEAL Team 6?
Thank you for that question. Two things, and two things only, the reason I wrote it and made my heart whole again. One, be thankful, be appreciative that you have men like this who are willing to go through that type of training, sacrifice a lot of themselves, their time, their family time, and that they're that dedicated and have that much humanity in them, that much of a humanitarian spirit that they are willing to lay down their life for a brother. And all military people are. Don't let me, like, get sidetracked here. Let me go on record saying right now, Billy, every man and woman that puts on a uniform is my hero. We're talking about SEAL teams in particular here now, and I want to just, like, let people know that about the SEALs. The second thing is this. No matter what life throws at you, you can overcome adversity. If you're a young person and you have a rough childhood, what I consider an abusive childhood, you can overcome that. You can make that into a positive and draw on that strength and achieve whatever you want.
And that
later, later in life, the thing I had to overcome and the hardest thing that I've ever done, harder than being shot, harder than going through a divorce, harder than anything else, assimilating back to society from that team. With a small dose of PTSD, a little bit of depression, mix in some survivor's guilt, and you got a recipe for disaster, and it almost was the end of me.
Well,
I want people to look at this and say, hey, we can get through it.
And I'm glad that you did. We've been talking to Howard Wasten, author of the book SEAL Team 6, Memoirs of an Elite Navy SEAL Sniper. Howard, if people want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, you know what? My wife has got a Facebook page set up for the book, and it lists all the interviews and everything that I've done, Billy, so that'd probably be a good place to start. And I think you just go on Facebook to SEAL Team 6.
Facebook and SEAL Team 6. Howard, thank you again for your service to this country, and thank you for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, my pleasure, and God bless America.